How many of us heard the saying from many people, I am going to do a new thing? I've lived quite a while and heard it many times. Not just once, not twice, but quite a few. And I always wondered, because they never really explained, what's the new thing? And why keep we hearing it all the time? I believe it's God trying to encourage us to understand the third person of the Trinity. Most of us know him by the Apostle Creed, like me, when I first started growing up. But we never really understood the Holy Spirit, really. Oh, we knew that we had to have him, but how are we to have him and how are we to function? And what do we do in order to make ourselves available for the Holy Spirit to work in us?
Yeah, amen.
That takes quite a while for some of us who are a little bit,
slow learners.
If you're like me, you like to have things your way when I was young. Now I start realizing it's more than my way that this earth was created. That God did all this thing, wonderful creation, the trees and the birds, a tendency to think too much and listen too little. Our mouth moves more than our ears.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit that God has given that dwells in us. I'm learning, but many times I'm a slow learner. So I'd like to read the scripture in Colossians chapter 3. And I've got Galatians here. That's nice. Thought I was prepared, and now I am. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above.
Amen.
Uh-oh. My mind is usually set on things beneath, not above. And that's what God is trying to teach us in having the new thing. The new thing is really a personal thing for us. It's not some sort of new establishment or a new thing to do or a new way of praising the Lord or anything like that, which are all good. But basically, it is to get Christ in us to come forth. Most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, it's us who comes forth. And Jesus is sort of sitting on the sideline, waving to us, saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. For you have died. Some of us are running around with a corpse and we don't even know it. And your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
Do you really know that? Do you really sense that in your spirit? That's something beyond your mind. That's something deep down that you know, that you know, that you know. You can't explain it to people. You just know. And that's important. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. God is trying to have us revealed.
Yes.
See, you're important to God. You may think, I'm just a so-so. I'm not a so-so. And you're not a so-so. And once you realize that you really are important, to God. He called you by name. Do you know that? He calls you by your name. Not, hey, you. Let's turn to John 14. Now I'm going to show you this is how we human beings do things. And once we realize that, we can get rid of our human traits only with God's help. Because now we recognize our problems and have Him help us to become the person that we truly were made for. Let me ask you this question. God just brought this to mind. We know about Adam and Eve, and we put the blame on them for our problems. And probably rightly so, but the problem is if we were Adam and Eve, we would have done the same thing. But let me ask you this question. What happened if they had enough gumption? See, their relationship with God really wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Yeah.
Even though they were all in the garden by themselves,
yeah, that's true.
They had some type of thing within them. They didn't realize how important they were to God. They somehow didn't realize that. Because if they did, when the serpent came to them in the garden, they would have said, okay, I hear what you're saying, Satan. Then go back to the Father and say to him, Father, this serpent came in the garden and was telling us that you really don't love us because if we eat of that tree, then we'd be like you. Is that true, God?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, and God wants us to go back and realize how important is our relationship with Him. He is not concerned about our difficulties and puts us down because of our mistakes, but He wants us to go to Him and admit the mistake or admit the difficulty or whatever it might be so that He can have a relationship with us and He can talk back and forth and teach us His ways. This is important. That's what God is trying to do today with us. He gave us the Holy Spirit, not because it was the third person, but because now that Jesus isn't here, we need a helper. We need someone to comfort us. And yes, we sort of grab a hold of that to a degree, but don't realize that He's also the one who is going to teach us the Father's way to us. Okay, John 14, 6 through 8. Here's how I think sometimes, let me find it here. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father. My Father also.
Yeah, amen.
Important point. And the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. That's Jesus. Now, we all know that because it's written down for us.
Yeah, amen.
And we don't have a problem with that. But it wasn't written down for Philip. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Now Jesus just said, you see me, you see the Father. I mean, how stupid can you get? Really? But you know something? How stupid can we get?
Yeah.
Because our humanity is just like him.
Yeah.
God tells us something, and then God has to repeat it again to us.
Yeah.
After that, he says, Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Well, why wasn't it enough beforehand? And Jesus said, "Have I not been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip?"
Yeah, amen.
So, and he explains again. That's what I love about our Father. For us stupid people, he repeats himself a few times until we get it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit.
Sometimes
has to tell us a few times before we finally sinks into our thick skull what God is trying to tell us. And we all have thick skulls. Okay, but God is trying to make it pure. Make us understand deep within. See, most of us understand with the head, and some people have a good knowledge of Scripture and can repeat the chapter, the verse, the book, and things of that nature. I'm not one of them. And they, it's all head. Now, if you have the head and the spirit, you're with the program.
Head of the game.
Because now it gets deep within you. Now, Jesus had, when he was walking this earth, a real tough time because they saw his humanity more than they saw the spirit that indwelled around him and in him. For example, here he has brothers and sisters. Now, some people believe he didn't have, but he did. If you read the scriptures carefully. He had brothers and sisters. And how can a God have brothers and sisters? You know, in the natural sense of things, just think about it. You might think, I don't know. I see him out there and he's got brothers and sisters. How can he be God? That was a problem. They saw his humanity. Also, they saw that after a while, his father passed away. We don't even know what happened in the scriptures to Joseph. But all of a sudden, he's not on the scene anymore. And he's gone. And they said, well, now, here's this guy. He lost his father. Probably Joseph, Jesus is doing some work, carpentry work, to try to hold the family together. Don't you think? Maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Likely true.
I'm not saying it's true, but it's possible that's what he did.
Yeah, likely true.
That's his humanity. How can this guy be God? He's just like us. Talks like us, has a family like us. His father passed away, now he has to support the family. I mean, if it was God, he could. Well, why would he do that? He could just automatically just feed the family and miraculously lay his hands on the table and all of a sudden bread would appear.
Yeah, right.
All kinds of food, but he didn't. He functioned just like the rest of us. Because what God is trying to do in us is to get in the spirit rather than what we see in the flesh. Yeah. And that's difficult. Because we can easily relate to the flesh. But the spirit is sometimes difficult to relate to because sometimes the spirit doesn't make sense to our brain.
Yeah.
How about the transfiguration? Here Jesus on the mountain with all of a sudden, what was it, Moses and Elijah? Okay. Thank you, Peter. And in their humanity, what's the first thing they do? Let's make a church. Let's build some sort of idol or some sort of thing to remember this place.
Yeah.
That's us human beings. We do that.
Yep, that's right.
And God says, you're missing the point.
Yeah, exactly true.
I am being glorified by my Father.
Yes, he was.
That I am really the Son of God. They still didn't get it. And then, of course, what really took them to task was, how about drinking my blood and eating my flesh? What do you think we are, cannibals? But now we know, because we've had the word preached to us, we read it and understand. They didn't understand it, because they didn't have it written down or anybody explained it to them. Jesus tried to, but we need the Holy Spirit again to alert us to what's going on. Peter wants to defend Jesus. People come to arrest him and take him away. He decides, I think it was Peter, one of the guys anyway, lopped off his ear. Now how would you like it? All of a sudden Jesus comes over to where the ear is, picks it up, puts it back on the person's head, and I thought, we're defending you, Jesus. And he's doing it. What? What's going on here? Trying to keep him from getting captured. That's what us human beings do. If they had seen what had to happen, they would have just didn't mess around a year. And of course, the big thing was, you're not going to go to the cross. Are you kidding me? We're going to defend you to the end. See, all those experiences shows people that God is human. But he's also our holy, spiritual Father represented in the life of Jesus.
Amen.
And we have to see that by the Spirit.
Yeah.
If we don't see it by the Spirit, then we try to understand it with our puny brain, it just does not sink in. But your spirit grabs it. It sinks deep within because you're no longer a resident of this earth, but you are a resident of the heavenly kingdom. And you're just on a trip right now through life before you go to where you really belong. I'm going to just relay some things in my own life so that you would be encouraged, because you know I'm really, by the world standards, really not much of anybody. I was a teacher, okay? That's, I guess, pretty cool. Taught in sororities. Have children. Have a beautiful wife. I'm just like you guys. No different. You know, I'm not president of anything. I'm not a secretary of anything. I'm not just an ordinary God who loves Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
And because of that, God saw me when I was a little boy, and he said, I want that man.
Yeah.
And he heard me crying for him because I was brought up in a particular denomination. And I thank God for the denomination. It did teach me some things, taught me the Word of God, though sometimes it wasn't practiced. But also the Lord said this to me, so if we get all bent out of shape and think we're better than somebody else, you know what God said? Listen to what they have to say. Because I can speak through them, just like he spoke through a donkey.
Yeah.
So I can speak through anybody, so you hear. Now, if they do something that's not right, don't follow that. But if they're saying the right things but doing the wrong things, follow what they say, but don't follow what they do.
Yeah.
And you don't get an attitude towards them. If you have a relationship, well, then maybe go talk to them. But that's who we should be. Listen to Jesus all over the place. He's in everything. Some of the things you think that are not very spiritual, he's in that. He may speak to you about something.
Yeah, amen.
And then all of a sudden you say, whoa, I think that was Jesus telling me something. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That's our relationship with him. That's the Holy Spirit in our lives that draws us to him more and more. And we realize, sometimes I get very emotional about when Jesus does that kind of stuff to me. Because he cares for me. He shows that he really loves me. Not just words, but he shows that he loves me by speaking to me and correcting me and changing me and seeing what I've done right, because he's that kind of God.
Yes.
Now, I was not going in the right direction in my life when I was younger, got married to my beautiful wife. Got married in the Methodist Church in Saugerties. These people in the Methodist Church in Saugerties knew me very well. I was a teacher amongst them. Relatives were there in the church and so forth. And then one time God says, I've got to really get this Bruce straightened out. Because he's very confused. And so in this church, during what they call the lay witness mission, which I didn't really attend that much, on Sunday morning, they were having a special service for this lay witness program, which is bringing outsiders in and talking about Jesus to the people in the church, which I, like I said, I didn't really attend that much. But all of a sudden, in that church,
yeah,
the Holy Spirit came down and hit me square right between the eyeballs. Just me. Guy who was the leader from the outside, he just started preaching, just started, and I bolted out of my seat and ran down to the altar. And I just started crying like a baby.
Yeah, praise God.
Jesus was all around me, in me and through me.
Praise God.
People great out testimony. In the church didn't have a clue what was going on. Except the leader.
Yeah.
He said, I'm done. That was the end of his sermon. And he had an altar call at that point, and just about the whole church got empty. I think partly too, because they knew something was going on, the people did, but they didn't have a clue what was going on. Only I did, possibly my wife at the time. I'm not sure if she understood totally. Children, obviously, were very young, they didn't know. And then if I thought back on it, which I have lately, how embarrassing in front of everybody else. All these people I knew, all around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
He just wanted me. He singled me out that way. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I'm glad he did.
Yeah, me too. And so I realized there was a God who was powerful, loving, and caring in my life. So he came, and I saw that. I was part of that. I felt that. Now, you may not have that kind of experience, and that's okay. But maybe for some of us thickheads, we need that kind of stuff. Be wakened up. Then, as I went on through life, I had, in a church, a youth meeting. I won't go through all the details of that youth meeting, but God was so present in that youth meeting. Peter was there. We saw the move of God upon these young kids. You wouldn't believe. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I hardly had to do anything. It just got him down and touched these kids. We had at one time we've started, a person who could play the guitar, and that was it. As the meeting kept going forward and forward, nobody asked anybody about being minstrels. But all of a sudden, these kids started coming forth, and we had trumpeters. We had saxophone players. We had singers. I was trying to think of all the things. We had drummers. Because God, yes, the piano thing there, what do they call keyboard, All that because God put it together.
Yeah, amen.
We didn't go around asking, hey, does anybody want to do this? Anybody want to do that? No. Just God did it. Put it on the kids' heart. They just brought their instruments. They wanted to be part of it. Now, who could only do it? But God.
Yeah, amen. That's God.
Incredible. And people who didn't understand were trying to upset the apple cart. Because you know what happened? In many of the cases that we had the meetings, the kids started crying their tears. Crying. Not because we said, it's time to cry. It's everybody cry now.
Right.
They just did. Because God was changing their lives, and they didn't totally understand what was going on, but they knew something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they started crying. And our meeting was known as the crying time. Mm-hmm. And some people were getting upset because that's basically, in many cases, all that the kids did. They prayed. By the way, the kids went around and prayed for each other. Carol and I did not lay hands hardly on any child. They prayed for each other. Now, you tell me if that isn't the move of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's just a wonderful thing. I just looked around and saw this, and I said to Carol, this is amazing. This is amazing. And to have you understand, I didn't really want to have the meeting at the beginning because I was already teaching. And I just didn't want to have another time with kids. I wanted a break. Well, God saw it different. And I was smart enough to follow God's Spirit.
Yeah.
To have Him understand. And people were trying to make, now all of a sudden, it's starting to become, just thought of this. While we were having our meetings, maybe a year later, up comes a group from Poughkeepsie. From Poughkeepsie. I asked them, how'd you find out about this meeting? And they really didn't know. So Peter brought them up and said, we just heard about it. I said, well, how'd you hear about it? I'm not sure. And you know what was even more wonderful? It was our black brothers and sisters.
Amen.
To a white group? Are you kidding me? So they met with us, and then we realized, or Carol realized, that they were having struggles because they didn't feel totally part of us. So Carol goes out with them and says, come on out. Goes to another part of the building, talks with them. I don't know what she said. They come in, and they were so excited, I couldn't believe it. They joined us and praised the Lord and stomped around and did all the things and prayed for each other while they were crying. And oh, my goodness, it was wonderful. It was just great. So all this was happening, and then some humanist decides, we got to have a film of this. We got a film of the worship and film of what's going on. And I almost had a fit. I said, all we're going to do then, the kids are going to start thinking this is an entertainment session.
Right.
And they're going to start putting on things on themselves just so that they look good in front of the camera. I said, we're not going to have that. No cameras. Well, that wasn't popular because if you want to promote something, you've got to show people that. Oh, do you? No, you don't. God proved that when you young men and women from Poughkeepsie came up.
Right.
They just knew. I hope this is encouraging you.
It is.
To realize that within you, there's all this possibility. All you have to do is have spiritual eyes to see and a spiritual heart from Jesus to realize what He's doing, and you just flow with it. That's all God expects us, not to run it, to flow with it. Now, sometimes you may have to take charge of certain things, but most of the time you just flow with it.
Amen.
That's right.
And I'll tell you another time I had with the Lord. Now, this is going to be hard for you to see or to understand. I'm being sarcastic. During your lifetime, most likely, you've gotten annoyed and angry with God. Am I the only one?
No.
Well, finally, God said, you know, you're too big for your britches. And I was walking up the sidewalk of our house and really annoyed at God because I wasn't being appreciated. Poor me. And all of a sudden, this is how God loves me. There was a big teacup that came down from heaven and covered me right up, and it was pitch dark in that teacup. And I'm telling you, it scared me to no end. Because I knew it was God. I knew He was chastising me. I knew He was not happy with my attitude towards Him. And I started to say, Lord, Lord, please forgive me, please. You got one stupid guy here. Please help me. I repent of being angry with you, and I won't have this kind of attitude anymore. But you guess what happened? All of a sudden, that cup, and I started seeing some light. Now, this actually happened to me. I started seeing the light until all of a sudden the cup was gone. That's my God. That's who He wants me to be. A man who trusts Him in all things and not be a Weisenheimer and trying to be a know-it-all with God. I mean, are you kidding me? A know-it-all with God? That I knew better than God? Well, that was my attitude. I didn't eat the fruit of the tree, but I thought I was a God. Doesn't work with Jesus. So when that left, I was very, very happy, and ever since I said, Lord, if I start feeling this attitude, I shouldn't be doing that, it goes quickly. Because I trust God and who He is. Now, there was one time that one thing that I had was God wanted to give me an out-of-body experience. He started to take me up in the bedroom. I got as high as the ceiling. I got so scared. That was the end of it. I was really just as bad as the teacup thing. I was really scared. And I believe God was trying to have me trust Him, but I still haven't learned that totally. So I kind of messed that up, because other people have out-of-body experiences with God and they can get frightened about it. But I did. So if any of you have difficulties and you really did not own up or come up to where God wants you, He still loves me. Just because He wanted to show me stuff out of my body for some reason or other. So I missed something on that. And one more thing. You have to understand that all these things that I've had have been my personal experiences. Don't you try taking my personal experience and doing it, because it just won't cut it. I'm just thinking of this gentleman called Seymour. He was a black gentleman, I think in Los Angeles, the, what they call that? I can't think of the name of the, Azusa Street. If you heard of Azusa Street, this black gentleman, he went and he got his biblical education outside of a white church because they wouldn't let him in. How pitiful. Christian wouldn't let another Christian in. Good grief. But he accepted that and took on the responsibility and learned what he had to learn. The windows were open for him so he could hear what was being said, but he's outside. Now, he loved God. By the way, his physical features weren't that great either. He had pock marks. He had all kinds of deformity, facial-wise. One eye wasn't that great. And God did this. God told him to do this, which I thought was the most craziest thing I ever heard of. He would get up on the platform in this church and put a box, cardboard box, over his head. And then, when that happened, the Holy Spirit started moving in that church. He didn't see, the pastor of that church did not see what was going on. He just trusted God. And the young people of that church would get up and start running around and praying for all these people. And people were being healed by these young people. Nobody was telling them to go here, there, or whatever. They just did it by the Spirit of God on their lives. And you know what happened? He started listening to too many critics, and he started to remove the box on his head and didn't wear it as much. Guess what happened? The ministry didn't go as well. So God may ask you, and I'm saying may, just don't go out there doing crazy things just for craziness. But if God is in it, He'll bless you. Mm-hmm. One last thing I want to tell you about, and then hope this is encouraging. Is this encouraging you?
Yes, amen.
How about people in the picture thing there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
The last thing I want to, I got so many things that God has done with me, it's amazing. In Poundville was where I live. There used to be a swinging bridge. And the bridge was getting kind of old. Of course, it's gone now. But at that time, the boards on the bridge, some of them were not in good shape. And I felt in my spirit that God wanted me to go up to that bridge. And then He'd tell me information afterwards, what to do. So here this crazy guy goes up to this bridge, and I said, okay, Lord, here am I. What am I going to do? And I believe it was the Lord that said to me, go over to the other side. And I said, oh, I bet you there's somebody over there I can witness to about the Lord. Now this is, by the way, in the middle of the night. So I said, Lord, you know this bridge is kind of boards are not that great on it. Please help me get across safely so I don't go falling through and fall in the creek. So I go gingerly across the bridge. God, I believe, telling me what boards to step on and be careful of this board and that. And I did. I got over to the other side. Then what happened? I saw nobody. I said, Lord, what's going on? So then I felt Him saying, go back to the other side. I said, oh my gosh, over that bridge again? By the way, that bridge, they call it swinging bridge because that's exactly what it does. It swings. So But I only have to look out for the boards. I also have to be careful of the swing of the thing. So now I go to the other side. And of course, asking God to get me over. And you know something? After I said, Lord, okay, here am I. Nothing. Now, some people, and me included, said, well, that was stupid. I didn't really hear the Lord. Just my imagination. Years later, someone came up to me and said, and I told him the story, he said, I believe what God was teaching you was obedience. Not expecting anything else but obedience.
Yeah.
So I have to believe that's what God was teaching me was obedience. Are you willing to step out and just do what you're told?
Right.
And then let circumstances happen, if any.
Yeah.
Now is God telling you to do something? And maybe there is a result at the end. I hope there is. But sometimes we just have to step out in faith. And you know who's going to give you the faith? The Comforter. The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The one who loves you, cares for you. And if you do things that aren't quite right or stupid, you think he loves you less? No. He just wants your obedience and my obedience to do what you feel he's calling you to do. And when you learn things from that, or realize maybe it wasn't the Lord, that's okay. Because you're learning to hear his voice, sharp and clear. And that's the thing that's so important, is the sharpness of your hearing. God is trying to do spiritually inside of you. Now, how does he speak to you? How does he speak to me? Well, with me, there's something that either comes on my head, sometimes in my heart, sometimes nothing at all. I just all of a sudden sense I should do this, or I should do that. There's no easy answer for you or me. That's what all my life, I was looking for answers that was easy that I could get. And only God can give us the answer by the Holy Spirit. Are we willing to let him guide us and ask people about doing certain things and finding out from them, do you think I heard God or not heard God or whatever? You need sometimes someone to come alongside you and tell you, yes, you're doing fine. You're trying to hear the Lord's voice. I was one of these guys. You know, here I am, a person who likes to prophesy. And all my life, until I got here, I never got a prophetic word, either did Carol. That frustrated us. So why, Lord? We had people would come along and they were prophesying over people. This is crazy, but it did happen. I would stick my hand right out in front of them. Yeah. So they would lay hands on it and pray over me or prophesy over me. And they kept going by me. And I'm saying, Lord, what is going on here? I can't be more explicit. And what God was teaching me anyway is prophecy is nice and we need it, but the guidance of my spirit is more important. And the only way you're going to learn it is by not having somebody tell you I'm speaking for God, but that you hear God for yourself.
Amen.
And when you hear God for yourself, guess what? You start loving him more. Mm-hmm. Because you start understanding that he really does love us. We can sing songs of love and him loving us and we loving him. And that's true and it should be. But in order to get a full understanding of his love for us, sometimes we go through some difficulties. We sometimes do crazy things and things we have to be forgiven of. But you know something? I'm not saying that this is what you should be doing, okay? Please. But the more mistakes that you make, the more you understand his forgiveness and even more his love for you. Because he who loves is forgiven little, loves little. But he who's forgiven a lot more, loves a lot more. That's why I love Jesus, because I have been given forgiven a lot of things. And you know something? It hasn't been like I murdered somebody or that I was an alcoholic. Just me, Bruce Holmes, I needed Jesus. I needed him badly because there was attitudes and things about me, and maybe they're still there, but hopefully they're getting rid of. And that's why I love Jesus.
Amen.
So Lord, I ask that you would help direct us to understanding of who you are in our lives. Don't you go, by the way, and try to copy somebody else. Don't you try to copy what I did.
Yeah, amen.
Don't you copy what Peter does, or Paul, or Wayne, or anybody in here. You find Jesus for yourself. We are too much of copycatters. Jesus does not like copycatters.
Nope, not at all.
Jesus likes people who are individuals that understand who he is and flows with who he is.
Amen.
In your life. So, Lord, I ask that we will do that and do it with great love and understanding of who you are.
Amen. Thank you.
I thank you for each one here. Father, they're unique. They're different. They're wonderful. And everyone on the screen, Father, I pray, Lord God, that they're unique, individual, and just great in your sight, Father. And I thank you for them and for what you have done in their lives and what you're going to do in our lives in the future. And I thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name. You'll
Amen.
Be glorified in this,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Not just words, but actuality. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name. Let it be so, Lord.